on the waters, great unknown, feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. And I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours, you are mine. Grace abounds in deepest waters. Sovereign hands will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you've never failed and you won't start now. So I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours, you are mine. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters, wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters, wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. And I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours, you are mine.
Good evening, everyone. How you guys doing? Good, good. Bless. Well, tonight I want to invite you to turn with me to the book of Matthew. We're going to work with chapter 14 in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 14. So just have your Bibles there for a few minutes. Did you know that fear is one of the most popular weapons that the enemy likes to use against us? Do you guys know that? Yeah? Can you testify to that? And you know, when fear leads to worry, anxiety, and all those combinations, you know, as long as Satan can get us in a state or in a place of fear, he begins to, he's able to take us on a limb that if we're not careful, we can easily lose our way. You know, when we talk about fear, many of us have different fears. Could you agree to that? You know, we live in a time where there's constant fear of wars, fears of conflicts. There's fears of Am I going to have an income tomorrow? There's fear for health. There's fear whether am I going to live to see tomorrow? I mean, we can make a long list. Do we all have fears? The question is, do you know how to live in the midst of your fears? Do you know how to handle your fears? Are your fears keeping you away from Christ? That is my question tonight. You know, some of us might have learned to navigate through fear. You know, I remember a while back when I was going through a season of my life. You know, it's interesting that our minds can learn how to navigate in fear. You know, we learn how to swim in it, but we don't realize how much it puts us back, how much it delays us, how much it cripples us from developing the faith that we need in order to put our trust completely in Jesus Christ. And it is my prayer that tonight, as we study Matthew 14 and we address fear, it is my prayer that from this day moment, that when fear does come, because they will continue to come, I believe, you know, that we will have better tools to better face it. Better tools for when the devil throws a curveball. You know, I'm a baseball player, so my biggest issues playing baseball was a curveball, especially from a lefty. Okay, it took me a long time to learn how to hit that darn pitch. But once I learned how to hit it, I wasn't striking out anymore. And once we learn how to overcome or face fear in his face, you will see that your spiritual walk will continue to be a blessing and a joy. Are you guys ready? Yes. Matthew 14. Let us pray. Father in heaven, our Bibles are open, Lord, and we just only want to hear your voice, Lord. Each individual here present has different situations, different fears, different anxieties in our life, Lord, and we're just worried about different things, Lord. And Father, sometimes these worries are so big, they're so gigantic that we are paralyzed sometimes to keep moving forward, even in our own faith. So Lord, as we study your scripture today, I pray that your Holy Spirit, once and for all, may take a grab of our fears, Lord, and that they may be eliminated in the name of Jesus. So speak to us, O Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Matthew chapter 14. There's a story here that's extremely interesting to me because, you know, I'm a curious person. And this one just mind boggles me a little bit. And if you're with me in Matthew chapter 14, we're going to read verses from 22 through 27. I'm just going to read straight and then we'll get back and get into the verses. It says, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. Let me give you some history here of why Jesus does this. In the verses before, Jesus had done this amazing miracle and he had fed how many people? You remember? 5,000 people. And how did he feed 5,000 people? He used what? 5 loaves and what? And 3 fishes. And who did that come from? A little boy. You know, it's pretty interesting that sometimes kids have more faith than we do, don't we? You know? That's why scripture says that we need to become like a child in order to what? Have you heard of that verse? To enter the kingdom of heaven? You have to have that heart as a child. It's that trust, that dependency upon Christ. And Judas, the Adventist Bible commentary, and Ellen White backs it up as well in The Desire of Ages. Judas was so excited by this, what Jesus had done, that he started to move the disciples. You know what? It's time to crown Jesus as king. It's time to crown him as king. And this is the moment because Jesus just fed 5,000 men. Now, you know, if we add a child and a wife to each man, it's estimated that he fed around how many people? 15,000 people. And there was what? Leftovers. Was that an amazing miracle or what? And Jesus himself, in his humanity, and that's a whole nother sermon, he wrestled with a temptation to take that opportunity and become king. And it says that Jesus quickly had to take them. You know what? You guys need to get out of here. You guys are becoming a stumbling block for my mission. Get out of here. And the verse 23 says, and after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to do what? To pray. Folks, as we become followers of Jesus Christ, we need to imitate Jesus Christ. Do you agree? What was the thing that Jesus did the most that we find in Scripture? Pray and what else? And heal. And preaching. Never forget that prayer is extremely important for our lives. Very important for our lives. It says, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But when the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them, and in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and afraid and said, it is a ghost. And they cried out in, what did your Bible say there? In fear. But immediately Jesus spoke up to them saying, take heart, it is I. Do not what? Do not be afraid. Now, I need you to think about something here. You know, it looks like that Jesus at a certain time told them, listen, guys, you guys need to go to the other side and you need to wait for me there. Okay. And the Bible commentary says that Judas was trying so hard to convince the disciple to take that opportunity to crown Jesus as king that they delayed their departure. And because they delayed their departure going to the other side where they were going about 3 miles, okay? That's how far it was where they needed to go. That they delayed and they left at the evening. And by the time they started rowing, about a mile into the sea, this huge storm came. And you know that the disciples were wrestling with the storm for about 8 hours. For about 8 hours, they were wrestling with the storm. And instead of them moving forward, the storm had set them back and they were further away from their course. And folks, the first thing that I want to talk about tonight, dealing with fear, okay, is we need to dispel the, let me see if I can use this, if I can say this word correctly in English, because this is where my bilingualism becomes an issue, because I can't pronounce certain things. Dispel disillusionment. Did I say it correctly? Right? The first thing we need to learn here is we need to dispel disillusionment. What am I talking about? In the context, when they were rustling and dealing with the storm, and they were afraid and they were scared, Jesus shows up, and the first reaction was what? To say what? It is a ghost. How many of you are afraid of ghosts? Raise your hand. Yeah, I know. For a very long time, I had to sleep with the nightlight on, you know? I know. I believe that the dead are dead, and that when they die, their spirit goes to God, and then when their bodies are in the ground, they become as dust. But for some reason, we all have this sense of a fear of encountering a ghost. And the disciples, in their time, it was a prevalent belief that they walked around some ghosts. So then in their struggle, in their moment when they were struggling with the tempest, with the storm, one of the first things that they thought they saw was a ghost. And it wasn't until they dealt with the situation of what they were perceiving, what they thought they were seeing, that they were able to take the next step. You know, a lot of times in our lives, we may be going through storms and the wind is beating and the waves are high and the thunder is howling. Has anybody been in a thunderstorm before? Yeah. I come from Texas. I live in Houston right now. And like every other week, we get one of these where, you know, sometimes I think that we've actually had 2 tornadoes go by where I live in the past 3 weeks. And it's terrifying. It's terrifying. And these guys that were in these boats, they weren't any rookies. Did you know that most of the disciples were fishermen? They were sailors. They knew how to navigate and deal in rough waters. But in this time, they were having a hard time getting through. And you know what's beautiful? That the Desire of Ages says that Jesus, although he was on the other side, he was praying, but he was watching. And it wasn't until one of them said a prayer of, Lord, we're done. We've been here too long. We're dying. I need you. We need some help, that he came by. Now, if you read the same story from Mark, Mark says that Jesus' intention was to walk by them and just keep walking. That was his intention, you know? And it's pretty interesting that Jesus would do that. Why would you think that Jesus would do that? Why would you think that in the midst of their fear, in the midst of the storm, he would just walk by them? Anybody here will have an idea of why? Why do you think he would do that? Maybe just to remind them, right? Maybe just to remind them who he is. Maybe to see if they would recognize and remember who he is. You know, I love this story because we find in this story the disciples questioning whether what they saw was Jesus or not. And when they were scared, I love the fact that Jesus says, take heart. It is I. And what does he say? Do not be afraid. Let me ask you a question. In your moments of fear, have you ever heard the voice of God telling you, I am still here? Have you? Yes or no? Have you felt them? Do you know that he's there? Then why are we still scared then? You know, sometimes it's our nature. I don't know if it's faith. I don't know. We're going to get into that in a minute. If we know that God is here, then why are we still scared? Why am I worried? Why am I anxious? Why am I afraid to step and walk towards God, wherever God wants me to walk? Have you asked yourself that question? You know, me as a Christian and as a believer and as a preacher, I sometimes question my faith a lot, not doubting it. I examine myself a lot. That's the correct word. I examine my walk with the Lord. And sometimes I'm like, Lord, if I believe that you're here and I believe you're real, then why am I always afraid to do something that you're asking me to do? Especially step out of my comfort zone. Does anybody here have a problem with stepping out of the comfort zone? Well, listen, you know what I've learned about most of us that have spent a significant amount of time in this country, in the United States? And even for some of us that are immigrants from other countries, we spend so much time here. You know, back home in our countries, we're used to stepping out of the comfort zone because you have to. Because if not, you won't survive. You got to try new things. You got to do different things. You got to find your way in order to survive. If not, you're not going to eat. When we get to the U.S. and we're here for a long period of time and we learn the system and we know that there's things there that are going to help me out, we get too comfortable in our seats. I don't want to try new things. I don't want to do that. And we start questioning whether we will be successful or not. And you know in reality what that's called? You're just afraid. You're just afraid to see what God is going to do in your life. Can I tell you a secret about me personally when God called me into ministry? You know why I didn't want to become a pastor? I was petrified because I didn't know what God was going to do with me as a pastor. That's why I delayed 10 years from taking the step. 10 years. It had nothing to do whether if I was questioning if he had called me or not. It had nothing to do if I knew that he was powerful or not. It had to do that I was afraid to see how God would use me and where he would take me and lead me. I wasn't comfortable with that. So I refused for such a long time. I refused to get out of my comfort zone because I was afraid of what God was going to do in my life. And in this situation, the disciples are dealing with the boat. The disciples are fighting for their lives. And they're afraid because they're about to die. Okay? And you know what is interesting with fear? Fear has the ability to become greater than God in our lives. Did you hear me? Fear has this ability to become greater than God in our lives. And we reason. And I know that God is greater. Yes or no? Do I know that God is greater? Yes. I know that God is greater. Then why then does fear become something greater? You know, The reason why that happens, it's because we haven't gotten to know Jesus at a personal level. You know what I've learned as a Christian? And I'll speak for myself. And if this is true for you, you would probably say amen. I have learned that I believe in God, but I don't believe God. Okay? Should I repeat that again? I have learned that I believe in God, but I don't believe God. Does that make sense? And you know, and it wasn't until I got to a closer relationship with Him that I was able to switch that around. I don't just want to believe in God, I want to believe God. If God says, do not fear because I am by your side, I want to walk as if He's there. If God says, listen, surrender your life to me, trust me, I want to trust Him. If God says, seek the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, and everything else will be added onto you, I need to do that. You know, the cool thing about that verse in Matthew, and everything else will be added to you. Do you know what it is? Oscar, ¿qué significa y todas las cosas? I'm going to tell him in Spanish, because Spanish has its rich, that verse is so rich in Spanish. Todas las cosas serás añadida. What does that mean? Everything will be added onto you. What does that mean? Is something left out of it? Todo, right? What does all mean in English? What does all mean? Everything. Talking about money, family, relationships, everything. It says if you surrender, if you give your trust in the Lord, if you believe God and you let Him be who He is in your life, you won't have a need for anything. As a matter of fact, God will heal and restore what's broken in your life. But we're afraid. We're afraid to come to God, and we let the disillusion, that word that I said once, I knew I was going to say it again. We let that come in the way, and you know what? We treat God right now the same way the disciples saw Him, as a ghost, as something that doesn't exist, or as something that is totally scary to me. People, there's been times in my prayer life, that I've been afraid to come before God. There's times in my life that I don't believe that He's real, and I just think that He's some ghost. And I know that each and every one of us have gone through a season of these kinds of fighting and wrestling with these things in our minds. Jesus told them, and I love verse 27, but immediately, Jesus spoke to them saying, take heart. And what? It is I. And what it says? Do not be afraid. Now watch this. Verse 28. When Peter speaks, people, it's very interesting, okay? You got to pay attention when Peter speaks. Because Peter, I'm pretty sure that Peter was the one yelling. He was the first one to yell, it's a ghost! You know, with his impulse, his personality. And I'm pretty sure he was the first one to yell something. And Jesus said, hey, relax, Peter, it's just me. Look what he says. And Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, what does if it is you, what is he implying there? He's unsure, doubt, uncertainty, right? Does he hear the voice of Jesus? Is he recognizing Jesus? He's obviously here because he's asking him a question, right? He says, Lord, if it is you, he says, Lord. Now, I want you to picture this because I know that, unfortunately, I don't have a sound effect right now to make this work. You know, we're reading the scripture. We're not in the middle of a storm, literally. There's no waves piling. The thunder's not rolling. The wind is not blowing. So Jesus talks in the midst of all that, and he has the capability to listen to him, and he's saying, Lord, if it is you, what does he ask? Command me to come to you on the water. And Jesus said to him, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. You know, Peter leaves the boat when he knows that it is Jesus that's on the water. He had to get past of his first initial reaction from being a ghost to realizing that he is the Lord. And in order for you to step out of the boat and trust God and put your fears aside, you need to know that the one talking to you is the Lord, the Master, the Creator of the universe. If you're not able to distinguish his voice, you will never leave the boat that you're in. Let me tell you something. That song that Aurora just sang, Oceans, this message came because I've heard this song a few months ago. And I started reading the words. And I just want to read a few verses here in this song that really just popped in my brain. What it says, you call me out upon the waters, the great unknown where my feet may fail. That's what the song says. And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. And I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. And Peter, in the midst of the storm that he was going through, he decides to be bold. You know, guys, to be honest, the other, outside of Peter, the only bold person that I know to ask to pray a random prayer like this is your pastor, Joshua Majors. I've seen that man pray prayers boldly to God and ask him certain things that were of this magnitude, and the Lord has answered his prayers. That's part of the reason why he's here in this church. I don't know if you guys know the whole story. I used to tell him, Josh, how dare you be so bold with the Lord like that? You know, his personality would say, well, I don't know, man. I don't know. It's just what I feel I need to do. Because you know, when he gets hyper, he talks like that, you know? And I've always admired Peter for having that bold desire. Lord, if it is you, let me walk on what? On water. Now listen, I don't know if you're curious like me or not, but you know, my mom has a pool in Florida. And I remember that once I had read the story and I said, man, I wonder what walking on water would be like, you know? And I was trying to teach my younger brothers the lesson, and we had some little floating devices in the water. And I tried to walk on the water, you know, so I put a step, and you know what would happen? Shabloom. And I tried a few times, and you know what happened? Shabloom. And some of you were like, duh, you can't walk on water. But I was just curious. How on earth is someone able to walk on water? And you know, Peter, the Bible says that when Jesus says, come, Peter had his eyes glued on Jesus. He got on that boat, and he walked towards him. Now, here's the interesting part. The Bible doesn't tell us how far Peter was from Jesus. It doesn't say how far he was when Jesus spoke. We don't know. We can assume that he was from here to where Oscar is probably, because they heard him. Or maybe he was a little bit further back. We don't know. All we know is that Jesus and Peter and his boldness, once he realized that it was Jesus, his fears disappeared. In the midst of the storm, he walked and started walking towards Jesus. You know what the Bible says? So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. Verse 30 says, but when he saw the wind, he was afraid and he began to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. You know, those verses to me are extremely interesting because they're really interesting. Because before we read and we know that he's afraid. So for a split second, when he realizes that Jesus is the one, he gave the command, he took the step, his fears disappeared, and he walked. And it says that as he's walking towards Jesus, and it kind of reminds me of the vision that Ellen White had, her first vision. Have you guys read that part? You guys need to read that part. How some took their eyes off Jesus and fell off the way. Church, it is extremely important that no matter what's going on in your life, you keep your eyes on Jesus. Now listen, I know some of us, you know, well, I try to keep my eyes on Jesus, but where is Jesus? I don't see him. Well, listen, Jesus is right here. He's right here. You're not going to see who Jesus is and what he can do in your life if you don't have this book in your hand looking at him. And the Bible says that Peter, when he was walking underwater, walking towards Jesus, he was fine. And then he allowed fear to creep back in. And look how interesting this went, right? The power of fear was up here. He saw Jesus. Fear went down. Then the waves came back up again. That's what it says. And the wave came back up again. And look who takes control again. It's fear. And it says that he begins to sink. And as he's sinking, what does Peter do? What does Peter do? He prays. He calls out. Pray and save me. You know, many of us in our lives, when we have storms, we choose to focus on the problems rather than on the power of the one who can solve the problem. Let me ask you a simple question. Do you believe that Jesus has the power to eliminate your fears and your anxiety? Yes or no? Can Jesus heal your brokenness? Can he heal your broken home, your broken marriage? Can he do that? Can he provide a way for you to live and sustain yourself on this earth? Yes or no? Does Jesus have power, church? Do you believe it? Are you sure? Then why does fear take over when the waves come crashing down again? You see, it is one thing to say that I believe that he has power, and it is another to live as if he really has the power. I'll give you a quick illustration about this power of Christ. One of the worst surgeries that I've had, out of the many I've had, has been this knee surgery. Because I thought that, you know, you do the knee, get the rehab in, and you'll be fine, and, you know, I'll be up and running in 2 or 3 months. Well, they gave me good news. Knees last 6 months to a year, depending on your body, right? And the rehab process is just grueling. And I know, like right now, I know that my leg is capable of walking. You guys see me walk, moving around without this thing pretty well, right? And I don't know what is it. There are certain moments where it clicks in my brain and I can just walk. I have a small limp, but I don't have any discomfort or anything. You know, it just happens. But then there's sometimes where something happens and my brain disconnects with the ability for me to be able to walk with the strength that I currently have. And I limp so bad that I need the crutch. That's part of the reason why I'm still walking around with crutches. Because I can't get my brain to trust that my leg is strong enough to hold up on its own. And I know I have the strength because when I sit down and I am hitting the weights on the leg press, I can do 120 pounds with both legs up to 140, and I can do 75 on one leg. So I know it's a lot stronger from when I first had the surgery. But I don't know what it is. I do know what it is. I know the word in Spanish, so help me out here, Oscar. Es la falta de confianza. I don't trust myself. I don't trust my leg. And the doctor tells me you're clear to walk. The rehab therapist says you're clear to put your whole weight on it. You're clear to abandon your crutch, but I don't trust myself. Now, do I know that the doctor's right? Yes, because in the x-ray I can see that everything is healed. Do I know that my rehab therapist is right? Yes, because I'm able to do in the rehab, I do a lot of the things and I am much stronger. But I can't get this to click with the reality of what they're telling me. And spiritually, it's the same way with the Lord. We can scream to the world that the Lord has power, but we live a life of weakness. We say that the Lord has power in the church, and the church is a weak vessel. Because when we say that Jesus has power to eliminate my fears and I give him control of my life, great things need to happen in your life. They need to. You may say, Smith, I've heard that before, you know. A lot of people don't like the gospel because we hear it over and over and over. And sometimes it gets too repetitive. And sometimes it gets boring, to be honest. Some people get bored of the gospels, of stories like this one. But that's when we miss the point sometimes. We miss the point. Because watch this. I want to present you one more thing before we start to conclude here. You know, in order for Peter to walk on water, Peter had to do three things. Number one, he needed to get past of the ghost face. Number one. Number two, he needed to defeat distractions. Listen, what got Peter sinking was the distraction of the waves. He got distracted. Now, many of us deal with, there are subtle distractions, and there are other distractions that are clear as day for us in our lives. And both of them, the enemy sometimes permits those to come by to take our eyes off Jesus. And Peter had to get past those two before he was able to get out of the boat and start walking towards Jesus. But the distraction beat him, and sometimes that happens. And do you know why that happens sometimes? Do you know why the distractions win? Do you know why my fears come back? And it is the point number three that this highlights here in the text. Verse 31 says, Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, oh, you of what it says? Of little faith. What does it say? Why did you doubt? Tomorrow we're going to talk about doubt. Don't miss tomorrow. Tomorrow we're talking about fear, and I'm not going to jump into doubt because that's for tomorrow. I'm going to leave you with that hook for the doubt. Come tomorrow, and tomorrow we'll figure out how do we deal with doubt. Because I believe that as Christians, we go in four phases, and that's what we're talking about. We're going to talk about these next 4 days. We have to deal with the timing of when I'm going to trust Jesus. We have to deal with the fear. We need to deal with the doubt, and then we need to understand relationships. Okay? And Jesus tells him, why, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Do you guys know why Jesus said that to him? Because if you go back to Matthew chapter 8, and we'll go back over there with me again, to Matthew chapter 8, watch this. Watch what Matthew chapter 8 has to show us. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 26. Watch this. Actually, we'll go to verse 24, and it says, and behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves, but he was sleeping. They went and awoke him, saying, save us, Lord, we are perishing. And he said to them, why are you afraid, all you little of what? Of faith. What? You mean they had gone through this before? So why are these dudes so afraid then? Yeah, unbelievable. Do you know why fear takes control of our lives? Because we forget what Christ has already done in our lives. We forget the many victories that you have already had in the name of Jesus. You forget that God is with you and he has never let you down. You forget. We have an issue with remembering what Christ has done already in our lives. And it just blows my mind. I had an explosion when I was doing preparing this sermon to realize that a few chapters before, these disciples had gone through the exact same thing already. And this time, Jesus was there with them. He was just sleeping. How is it possible that I see Jesus come the storm in one moment in my life, and when the next one comes, I am ready to give up because I think I'm going to die and I'm going crazy. And fear takes control of me. Church, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you. Do not forget. Don't forget the victories that Christ has already given you. Let me ask you a question. Has Jesus ever given you any victories? Yes or no? Yes? Has Christ solved problems or situations in your life? Yes or no? Yes. Is it just one or two or three? Many. Many. So if that's the case, then why does fear take control of my life? There's something that I want to read to you guys right before we go into the closing song here. And I think it's very important that we keep in mind. You know, talking about Peter in the process of sinking, one of the theologians wrote these thoughts and says, when the storms of life come, how long will you wait till you call on Jesus? Though we often try to think our way out of problems and search for others who can get us out of our problems before we look to Jesus, why is Jesus not our first refuge in difficult times? It's interesting that I go to Jesus as my last resort. If you're honest with yourself, we do the exact same thing, don't we? Why isn't he my first resort? No matter how we answer that question, there is a deeper problem. We don't trust Jesus. We trust our skills, our intellect, our money, our positions, or our connections more than we do the Son of God. We only turn to Jesus as a last resort. We put Jesus on a time limit. If Christ does not handle our problem within a certain amount of time, we assume that he does not care. We assume that he is not able. Or we assume that he is too busy. So we go to someone or something else. Not only must Christ be our first choice, he must become our only choice. You know, some of us might have the question and say, but what if Jesus does not help? Jesus may not come when you want him to. Have you realized that? You know, it's interesting. Lord, forgive me. I've tried to command the Lord, and I want him to come and do things when I tell him to. I'm the boss. God, you got to listen to me now. I've been guilty of praying that prayer. I sure have. And whenever I do that and I realize he doesn't show up, I'm saying, oh, Lord, I'm so sorry, because you are the commander and king of the universe, not me. I need to wait on you. Sometimes we want him to do what we want or follow our every direction. And we think that when he doesn't do that, we say he doesn't care. We forget that he is all powerful and he will help. Notice this. Notice that the storms do not come down until Jesus gets in the boat. Did you realize that in the verse? The storms don't stop until Jesus is inside of the boat with the disciples. So when Peter is sinking, when Peter walks, his fears come back. The Lord takes him up. And I can imagine Peter holding on to Jesus like I hold on to his crutch sometimes. You're going to hold me up. We're going to get to that side. And Peter's holding on. And the storm is still raging. And the storm comes down when Jesus is inside of the boat with the disciples. What do we learn from that, church? You know, when you think you're walking by yourself in the storm that you're in, Christ is right there with you. And there's going to come a point and a time where he's going to tell whatever it is that you're going through, be quiet. And that storm will be quiet. But you got to keep holding on to him. I'm pretty sure, you know, I can only think about this. I'm very visual. And I can imagine that when Peter sank and Jesus picked him up, you know what he probably did? He probably like, oh, baby, come on, hold on to me. He took him back. I would have been petrified. Just holding on to Jesus. I'm not going to let you go, Jesus, because if I let you go, I'm going to sink. And when we're dealing with fears and problems and situations and these strong winds and these high waves in our lives, and you know what? You can put a name to the storm. You can put a name to the strong winds. You can put a name to the high waves. You can put a name to the thunder in your life. Can you? Yes or no? You know what they are. You need to hold on to Jesus because he is mighty to save. We sing the song, Mighty to Save. And as we're singing the song, I want you to meditate in the words of the song.
Savior, the hope of nations. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as you find me, all my fears and failures, and fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Savior, my God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered. Shine your light. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. The Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
In you is greater than the one who is in the world. Isaiah 41:10 says, Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Psalms 56:3 says, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. And 2 Timothy 1:7, the Lord says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Tonight, to conclude our service, I would like to do something. I would like to have a prayer. And I want to invite Pastor Josh to come up and some of the elders. And as we wrap up this service, if there's something that you're going through in your life, you don't have to tell us what it is. We just want to pray with you. We just want to pray with you. You can come up to any one of us five, but we just want to pray for you. And if you're okay and the Lord has blessed you, you can... you're dismissed. You can go home and we will see you back here tomorrow. But we want to stand here for a while and just pray with you, because I know that some of us are going through some fears. Some of us have some anxiety, some worries. Some of us are living in moments of storms that are just trying to drown us. And we just want to pray with you and encourage you to trust and keep your eyes on Jesus. So as we dismiss you guys, if anyone has a need to pray, you don't have to give us any details. We just want to pray for you and with you. Would you please come forward?